From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message from the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ entitled Christ and Mammon, taking as his text the two parables found in Luke chapter 16. As we'll see, the principal teaching of both is one's attitude toward money. The Lord Jesus here emphasizes the necessity of obtaining true riches, not worldly wealth. First, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, sleepwalking to apartheid.
Yesterday I spoke to you about a huge row in Britain over faith schools. What has really fueled the debate is the increase of Muslim schools, what are called voluntary aided schools. These schools operate with the financial support of the government. They're really faith-based state schools, as distinct from secular state schools. At present, there are more than 100 private Muslim schools and 8 state-funded Muslim schools in Britain. At the beginning of 2007, David Bell, the then Chief Inspector of Schools, said that the growth of Muslim faith schools poses a risk of undermining the coherence of British society. He worried that, quote, many young people were being educated with little appreciation of their wider responsibilities and obligations to British society. He added, quote, we must not allow our recognition of diversity to become apathy in the face of any challenge to our coherence as a nation. There's something unique to Muslim schools, something that's not true of Jewish or nominally Christian schools in England. It is that Muslim schools do not lead to the integration of their pupils into the life of the nation. Even though the children of Muslim immigrants are born in Britain and are educated with the help of British taxes, they do not really become British. Despite this, as the Times Online stated in an op-ed article, Tony Blair decided the government would offer voluntary aided status to 120 to 150 independent Muslim schools, bringing them in line with the existing 6,850 Christian and Jewish schools. In other words, it will create masses of Muslim state schools. The heart sinks. How, in the name of integration, familiarity and trust, can it be possibly a good idea to have lots of state schools that are exclusively Muslim, with Muslim teachers, Muslim traditions, and intense Islamic education? Close the quote. The government now says that all new faith schools, but they're specifically referring to Muslim schools, will have to make 25% of their places available to those outside their faith. The government minister then hinted that, and I think it was to be fair to the new Muslim schools, that all faith schools would have to do the same. Now, this is dangerous. The government should stop what one writer termed sleepwalking to apartheid and refuse to allow any financial support to any schools that set themselves against the ideals of British society. It should criminalise any purportedly educational program that inculcates violence or that supports Islamic or other terrorists. And then it should keep its nose out of purely theological issues. The government will do none of this. Instead, it will capitulate to Muslim pressure. It always does. It will allow Muslim schools to polarise British society, and the only targets at which it will shoot its arrows of wrath are those schools and churches that dare to oppose its policy of accommodating the destructive and insatiable demands of Islamic radicals. Sleepwalking to apartheid is an apt phrase to describe this policy of madness. Or we could go even further and see it as it is, the cringing, fawning, and cowardly capitulation of spineless politicians who desperately but vainly hope that their pliability will help them avoid the runaway train of Muslim fanaticism.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Now, though the Lord Jesus Himself did not command the dishonesty of the steward, which was the original sin brought against him, He did tell us we may learn from his shrewdness. And in verse 9 He says, "I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of or by the mammon of unrighteousness." Use it to make friends for yourself. And he went on to warn, as he expounded, I'll not take time to read through the following verses again, but as he expounded in the attitude they should have to worldly wealth and money particularly, he warned them, you cannot serve God and mammon.
And immediately the Pharisees rose up in derision. Now thus far, he had been dealing, in Luke 15, he had been dealing with sinners, with publicans, tax gatherers. But now the Pharisees get in on the act, and they deride this. You cannot serve God and mammon. For the very reason, that's what they were trying to do. They paraded their self-righteousness. They paraded the fact that they served God. But in reality, they were not the servants of God. They were the servants of mammon. And the scripture tells us they were covetous. So the Lord Jesus told another story. This time, the story of another rich man. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. A parable of the most immense proportions. For many reasons, it's one of the most important of all the stories the Lord Jesus told. For it gives us a deep insight into the teachings of Christ on such subjects as heaven and hell, death and what follows, what it is to be in heaven, what it is to be in hell. The Lord Jesus covers those subjects. But you know, we miss something important if we concentrate on that subject or that type of subject in isolation. We must never forget the context. Here is a story about true riches and false riches. And here's a story about the misuse of money here on earth. If you remember again, in verse 9 of Luke 16, Jesus says, "Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye feel..." And here he's talking about dying. "They," and that may be impersonal, just meaning you will be received. Or it may mean those whom you have befriended by the use of your wealth will receive you into everlasting habitations. In other words, what Jesus is saying, while you're on earth, make good use of what God gives you in order to lay up treasure in heaven. And then he goes on in the latter part of the chapter to tell the story of a rich man who had everything, but who didn't make much good use of it except to pamper his flesh. And then, when he died, he found out the truth of Proverbs 11 and verse 4. "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but the righteous, or righteousness delivereth from death." If the story of the rich man and Lazarus teaches anything, it teaches that. And that rich man, as he sank into hell, and from the bowels of destruction, cried out for help to be sent to earth, to save his brothers, that they may be led to repentance. He found out something else, that they that trust in their wealth, as Psalm 49 tells us, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means save or redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious or costly. And it ceaseth forever. Or, quite simply, the ransom that they would try to bring cannot suffice. So, in the context of Luke 16, the Lord Jesus Christ is stressing something very important. Something that is usually overlooked as an aspect of Christ's teaching and character. And yet, it's one of the most radical, one of the most far-reaching of all the biblical touches in the portrait of Christ. One crucial to the understanding of him, his ministry, and his message. And that's Christ's attitude to the wealth and possessions of the world. Now, when you stop to think of this, there are many places in the record of Christ's life where this attitude comes to the fore and into sharp focus. But perhaps there's none more searching than Luke 16. And none more surprising. Why would he bring it in just here? I want us to examine this portion and just consider God and mammon, Christ's view of money. It's very common sense. It's very consistent. And this is the true Christian view of a very vexed and misunderstood topic. Let me make this point right at the beginning. This is clear in verse 11. The Lord Jesus Christ laid his major emphasis on our obtaining the true riches and not the wealth of the world. Notice that at the end of verse 11, he speaks of having committed to your trust the true riches. Now, I want you to remember who was speaking. The Apostle Paul later described the Lord Jesus in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. And he said he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now, here we have three things about the Lord Jesus. He was rich. When the psalmist said, "The cattle in the thousand hills is his," he was saying nothing more than the truth. He was rich. Yet, secondly, he chose poverty. And if you trace the life of Christ, he was born in poverty. He was, as a newborn babe, wrapped up in swaddling clothes. We tend to give that a sort of a romantic meaning. There's nothing romantic about it. He was simply wrapped in large bandages, and then he was led in a cattle feeding trough. He was born in poverty. He lived in Nazareth, the place that was the offscouring of all flesh to the Jews. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was the attitude. When he launched out in his public ministry, when it came to paying the temple tax, he didn't carry money. He said, "Go catch a fish," and God in his sovereignty had placed a coin in its mouth. When people would come after him, he said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." The creator of all, the possessor of all, became so willingly poor that in this world he owed nothing but the clothes on his back. Nothing. Not even the grave in which they laid his body. He became poor. And it is through his poverty that he gives us the possession of the true riches. You see, true riches were what Christ was really interested in. He wanted men to concentrate on being, as he puts it in Luke chapter 12, rich toward God. The scripture teaches us, if we have food and clothing, let us learn therewith to be content. Let's learn contentment with what little we may have. The Lord Jesus was insistent that we don't spend our lives worrying about what other people have and what we don't have. I've quoted from the 49th Psalm. That 49th Psalm is indeed the response of a man whose faith is in the everlasting God when he's tormented with the vision of the prosperity of the wicked while he himself seems to suffer want. The Lord Jesus is insistent we don't spend our time worrying about what we don't have. We ought to concentrate on being rich toward God. He warned us further, and we'll get to the warnings more fully in a moment, but he warned us further that worldly wealth is usually associated with sin. In verse 9, he calls it the mammon of unrighteousness. Again, in verse 11, he calls it the unrighteous mammon. Now, that's not to say that earning money is sinful. It is not to say that, as an old song used to belt out, money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. That's a total misconstruction and misquotation of Scripture. It doesn't say that at all. But it is undoubtedly true that it is usually associated with sin. And all too often it becomes the enemy of our obtaining the true riches. That is godliness. So you'll find in dealing with the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus says to him in verse 22, you want to be saved, you've done all these things, you boast in your righteousness and your law keeping, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So here was a rich man who was a law-abiding citizen. There's nothing to say that in any way this man got his wealth by unworthy means. Not a thing. But nonetheless, it had so gripped his soul that the reality was he preferred his possessions to Christ. That was the ultimate reality. So even in his case, where you've got an upright young man, you have the association with sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.